Banter.
Indeed.
I'm John Sands.
I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm Jennifer Masters. Hello.
Expelliarmus!
Ah!
Very good. A clue there.
I think we'll find from the other week a magic word that will work equally as well is Colin Farrell. There we go.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a Harry Potter special.
Yes.
Ooh.
With added Colin Farrell, okay.
Added Colin Farrell, yeah, just for Jen's benefit. Mm. Yes, because we meant to do a special a while ago, and we never really reviewed the latest one.
We haven't.
Well, no, because
we were going to do it in
this,
and then we shouldn't do this.
Probably review it first. Otherwise, if we think, oh no, we'll do it in order, then we'll get to the very end and go, we've got 8 seconds to review the latest one.
We can do it. We can do it in 8 seconds. It's pretty good. Next.
There you go. Yeah. Good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It is. It's a fitting. Well, yeah, we could just start at the end and then just ramble
do
on
it like doing Memento.
Order. We must mention a little bit about it.
I think you would have done. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the last one. It is a fitting send off to
Deathly Hallows 2, isn't it?
Yes, and it is a non stop, pretty much, onslaught of attack on Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Death, destruction.
Yeah. Ooh, it's all a bit depressing.
I think it is kind of difficult to review it without. Because it's part of it, you know, it's a satisfying end to the franchise.
Yes.
And
especially being part two of.
Yeah,
the seventh the story
part the first of the 7A thing was a bit foresty and a little bit.
It was a little bit slow
and you felt probably they could have cut a bit of that.
Yes,
but then it would have been too much, I think, to fit it all in one. So, but this certainly makes up for the forestry commission in the first part. Harry on camping, as Mark Kermode said. But yeah, no, I still thought it was very good, and nice to see some characters there. And so we lost some characters.
Yes.
I haven't read the books, so it was all a surprise to me.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think it's all true to the books. I don't think there are any surprises. Yeah. But yeah, I think some people got a little bit shortchanged. I think in death terms.
Oh, some did get shortchanged.
Yes. No, it's obviously a shame who dies and who doesn't. But in terms, there are some we just sort of hear about or just see the aftermath of rather than actually see it happen. And I kind of would like to see them go down fighting rather than just, they went down fighting.
Yes, some are disposed of rather quickly.
Yes.
You think, oh, it would have been quite nice.
You could have spared them a minute, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose if you're doing that for everyone, it would have been incredibly dark and depressing. And
yeah.
I mean, I know that it kind of has to be, but this is obviously still a kid's film, so.
That's another good question about it. There's a lot of stuff in the particularly the most recent few films, which you think, God, your kids are going to be quite old to watch that.
I think are the last one or two been 12 or are they all been? Which I think that's
12's about right. I think
but also because they are meant to be, the books mature as the characters do, and so I think it makes sense that way. I think I'd be surprised if any parents are going to say, "No, I demand that my 8-year-old should see this film where everyone dies."
Well, the thing is, that sort of worked when they were being brought out, because when J.K. Rowling brought the first one, and 10-year-olds were reading it, and then we would have to wait a year for the next one. They'd be 11 then, and so on.
Yeah.
But the difficulty is now they're all out. If you've got a kid who's 8,
and
wants to get through the lot very quickly, you might have to sort of go, "Whoa there, cowboy! Okay, let's give it 5 years,
exactly.
And then you can read the next one."
Yeah. Hold on to the DVD box set for a little while.
Ration
them out.
Exactly, that's what you need to do. You need to pretend the rest haven't come out yet.
Yeah, I've got this brand new book for
you. Oh, shiny!
But all the kids at school have already read the others. No, they haven't. They're lying.
Exactly.
They're just lying to you.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm going to be a terrible parent.
but no, I think there's a franchise. There's a sort of cut off after the first two, really, isn't there?
Yes.
The first two are quite Chris Columbus-y.
Yes. It's been a while, actually, since I've seen the first two. But I was reading up on the website Den of Geek did quite a good sort of retrospective over all of them in the run-up to the last one. And apparently the first two are very, rigorously stick to the books. And sort of try and include everything. I think they're also possibly the two longest, or two of the longest films.
Yeah.
Because they try and get everything in, and it's all very, the book says this, we must do this. And as a result, they suffer slightly.
Yes.
I think Warner Brothers didn't want to take any risks, really. So they just thought, right, no, we'll get a safe pair of hands and just do what the book says.
But with the first one, you're also setting up this whole world, which is, you know, a feast for the eyes, absolutely gorgeous to watch. So even though sometimes the storyline's a little bit, you know, shallow. It's beautiful. You just enjoy watching it. Yeah, yeah. A cup of tea on the sofa.
No, it's very warming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to a loan from you, Jen. We watched all of them straight through, pretty much over a course of about a week, and yeah, it was great. It felt very cosy. You're watching, even though when there's tough stuff going on the screen.
Mm.
You go, yeah, but we've got the lovely Hogwarts, and you know, yeah. You think, I want to go there. Why can I not go to Hogwarts?
Sorry, it's in Durham.
Is that right? Well, there you go. Have handy. Yeah, but and the cast as well make you know feel extra cosy because they're also faces we've grown up watching. So
yeah. But also sticking, I mean, having exactly the same cast throughout 8 films is all the main cast are always the same anyway. You get some come and some go, but I think that's very unusual for any franchise to even have 8 films, but also to be consistent throughout 8 films in their casting.
Yeah, but, well, mostly. The odd sort of Richard Harris, Michael Gambon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but then that's only by death, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, I think than, if he could have got around that, he would have been.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
But Michael Gambon does very well.
Yeah, there's a definite shift.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, because I don't.
He
I
does
find...
all right, doesn't he? He's all right.
He's not a bad actor.
Not bad. Yeah.
But I think because Richard Harris was very... I mean, how old was he? Fairly old already. Exactly. And I find it hard to envisage him being the Dumbledore in the later films.
Yes.
I think, because not that it's a massively physical role, but there's a bit more going on.
Well, there's a bit more shifting around in time, you see, sort of flashbacks and stuff, and to have...
That's true, to have that the very long-haired Dumbledore.
Yeah.
For which Harris would be quite tricky, I suppose. But,
yes. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm also pleased they stuck with. I think it was J.K. Rowling sort of mandated. It must be English cast, English film.
Well, British, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that I think that paid off.
Yeah.
Partly in terms of the calibre of people, but also just making it. I think some fans may have gone along with it. Was it Steven Spielberg or someone wanted to make him? I don't think they wanted to relocate the entire thing to America, but wanted. I think it was Haley Joel Osment maybe to be Harry Potter.
Right.
And it could have been fine. But, I don't know, it would have caused more of a fuss than was worth it.
Mm. I think it was certainly great, obviously, for the British film scene. And,
yes.
You know, although you could argue that in terms of keeping British actors in work, you go, well, Maggie Smith probably would have got the work anyway, as would have Kenneth Branagh.
Not necessarily one film a year, though.
But, for a, you know, they didn't need the money necessarily, but in terms of the crew and extras and so on, and, you know, money spent on British soil, then... Hey, yeah. Thanks. Exactly. What are we going to do now then?
Thanks, America. Many you know, billions of dollars.
Basically, the last film comes out and we start looting.
Yeah.
We literally run out of money that quick. Well, I think it was
very much on the studio's mind in terms of, damn, we've got a big money-spinning franchise that is just ending and we can't drag it out anymore. Mm. We've got to find something else.
Mm.
And they've no doubt got something...
They'll certainly be trying new things, won't they?
Yeah. Well, no, like Percy Jackson was one that apparently I haven't seen yet, but apparently as a book series, apparently had the potential to be quite good. But the film
Golden Compass isn't. As well.
Oh yes, yeah, Crash. Oh, the Hunger Games is one that's coming out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I don't know if that's Warner Brothers or not. Though. But yeah, everyone's
Narnia's still going. You know, always.
Yeah, it's very true. Mm. Actually, I don't know about that because the last Narnia wasn't bad. But I know there was a bit of upset because Disney ditched it, but then was it Fox picked it up?
Oh, that's right.
And then it suddenly became a bit more true to the books.
Mm. Yes. But so. I don't know. I can't remember what the next book is or if they're even working on one. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it.
But if you compare the two, because I think they all sort of came out similar times, the Narnia stuff and the Potter stuff.
Mm.
For me, the Potter stuff I always prefer the Narnia books, but the Potter stuff kind of had a bit more heart as a film.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it more, really, in a way. So.
It's got more of an intimacy, I think. I think because it's got those regular characters and you're with them all the way through, that you feel part of their gang. That's what it's about. Whereas with Narnia, you kind of leave them and then they come back.
Yeah. I think also the acting in Narnia isn't... The child actors aren't as good, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I'm not too sure, because I do think that with the Harry Potter... I love it, I do, but I think if they were recasting each film, then the cast would have changed.
Do you think?
Yes.
Really?
That's, I think, yeah. I'm not going to say any more on that.
Which one?
I'm not going to say. But
in case they listen.
I'm not surprised.
They're loaded. They don't listen to all of the nonsense.
But I'm not surprised,
for
example.
You overrate the influence this podcast holds in the film industry.
But this is why I think that, obviously, why you do have your Kenneth Branaghs and why you do have your Maggie Smiths in there. Because it gives it a bit of a...
Well, you need those, certainly. Yes. You definitely need those. Although, but, you know, given the last couple of films particularly the 7A, was mostly the main three cast members, and not many other people. That was mostly them.
Yeah.
But that said, I think some of the child cast in the supporting cast, maybe, for example, dare I say, Tom Felton as Draco Malfoy. In some of the middle films was a bit less good than some of the other people.
The thing is that Draco has always been a little bit one note as a character.
He's a two-dimensional character, isn't he? I'm a meanie. Ooh.
Grr to you.
Yes. Pirate.
But no, I think the others. I think they've grown up into good actors, really, and very, very. Apparently, I read that Neville Longbottom.
He
I thought was growing to a very good actor at the end. And apparently, he had to for the last few films have padding and fake teeth because he actually grew up looking too good.
There was someone. I think it was a blog post somewhere. Essentially, he should write a book on how to successfully navigate through puberty because he just went from tiny, tiny, weird teeth. Into like 6 foot something, in decent shape, good looking bloke. Thought, you can't play the nerd anymore. Scale it down a bit.
Exactly. Well, also apparently on the set, he was saying that in the first few films, particularly when all the kids grew up together and were being educated together and all that stuff, and had first kisses and parties and stuff like that, and he was always ignored by the girls because they were true to their characters pretty much. Harry, Daniel Radcliffe was the hero and Rupert was the friend of the hero, so he's the guy to get with when you get near the hero. And so poor Neville was sort of sat in the corner and no one went near him until puberty struck, and suddenly they go, actually, he's all right, isn't he?
Hello.
What happened to Neville?
Neville.
Yes. Neville. Yeah. Exactly. Neville's long bottom gone longer.
No, sorry. Oh dear.
I'm just punning on a name. It's not my fault that sounds awful.
Ew.
But yes. I need a shower.
And also, I mean, in terms of pure spectacle, the bit that always sticks in my mind, the last film was very good for sort of epic battles and the rest, but the bit that always sticks in my mind is the end of Order of the Phoenix, the fifth one, when there's a big battle in the Ministry of Magic. And that, it's one of the best sort of overall fight scenes I've seen in recent times. Just because it's very, you can see what's going on, it's very energetic and powerful, and you get a proper sense of powerful magicians heaving stuff at each other. And it was very, almost literally edge of the seat stuff.
Is that the one with Imelda Staunton?
I think that may be where she first turns up, hideous character.
She's frightening. Brilliant. She's one of the best bad guys in it, I think.
Yes.
Because you would never think that, you think Ralph Fiennes, good big bad, you can see as an actor, he's a good bad guy. Imelda Staunton, you think she was Vera Drake. How does that work? But it does.
It's that lovely passive aggressive pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. But you've got some other great people, like Julie Walters, she's like the mum.
Very good.
Mm.
Yeah,
the mom character all the way through, absolutely lovely and
Mott Williams,
warming.
I found him quite hard to take seriously the first couple of films,
but then
settled in very nicely.
Then you can't imagine anyone else doing it.
No.
And Robbie Coltrane.
Exactly. Well, he was of course Hagrid was written for him pretty much. So
And also, I think we'll go back behind the scene. While the cast stayed consistent, I'm pleased the directors didn't, because that's where a lot of the magic, for want of a better phrase, came from. Because Chris Columbus was all right, but not great. Mm. Which is why I'm not that big a fan of the first. They're fine.
Yeah.
But they weren't as...
They set it up, didn't they?
Yes, but then they're not especially adventurous. Whereas the... Especially bringing in... I always want to say, is it Alfonso Cuarón?
I think it was.
Or was it the other one? Someone else who's in it. Anyway, I think it was him. And he sort of livened it up a lot and made it more
Azkaban
interesting to look
probably
at.
What is, maybe my favourite.
Yeah. And then who did the... Oh, was it Mike Lee did the fourth one?
No, it was Mike... Yarwood. Nichols.
Mike Nichols. Nichols. Not Mike Lee. That would have been a far grittier.
Exactly. Different Timothy Spall film. Well, different Imelda Staunton film.
And then I think the last four were all David Yates.
Yeah.
Yes. And he did a good job, actually. Yeah.
And I think that's been like a really great progression, because even though you say the Columbus one was a bit, fair enough. But that's where it started to really... That's where the magic...
Mike Newell, sorry.
Ah, yes.
Sorry, I didn't want to just... No, people might be still getting at the iPod and therefore not hearing a word you're saying. Yeah. So that's why.
So if you send us an email in that like, last 30 seconds, then you take it back.
Yeah, you lose.
Yeah.
Sorry, as you were. Sorry.
Well, it's just the fact that obviously it needs to have that sort of development, and it's a really great way of doing things. Mm. You know, okay, well, who are we going to put in the driving seat? Who's going to take us on this journey? Mm. Do it.
Yeah. And I think the geography changed because again, I haven't seen the first two for a while, but I think what we saw, a lot of what set up in the first two, then got changed. I think where Hagrid's hut was and what they wore all got moved around a bit, which caused a bit of controversy at the time, but then everyone seemed to settle in. Maybe it's a bit better this way.
It's magic, it's all right. Things can move. Yeah, yeah. So remove requirement clones, and all that stuff, you know.
Also the development of the CGI, I think. Mm. You know, the fact that you've been able to do things really well. I mean, Quidditch. Goodness me. The first Quidditch game is a bit... I mean, yeah, obviously it tells the story, but the effects, watching them again now, watching them recently when I got the box set, they're a little bit, but later on... It really develops, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Mm. And
really
one of my favourites with that is the hippogriff as well.
Mm.
Flying, whatever it is, hippogriff.
Yeah.
Which looks as if you could touch it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, right there. So,
See, what actually think about characters, one character that we only ever saw once, and it was a shame, was Oliver Wood in the first one. Is the character who teaches Harry how to play Quidditch. He's sort of slightly Scottish.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And I remember, I mean, even now, having not seen it for years, in the first film, I was sort of thinking, it's all very good. And he just sort of seemed to ground it and be an entirely believable, solid, likable character.
Mm.
But it's been years since I read the books as well. He isn't really in it that much, doesn't have much to do, so just turned up and went. I thought it would be nice to bring him back. But as an actor, I don't know, I've never seen him in anything else, knowingly.
Am I right in thinking that Zoe Wanamaker also sort of disappears?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Well, I want to say Madame Palfrey, who's the flight
sports
instructor.
Teacher, yeah.
And but there's a few like that. Miriam Margolyes, who's sort of in a few but not many, and is often referred to as being that nearly headless Nick.
As
John Cleese, you know.
Is he not?
Because, well, Rick Mail.
Paul Whitehouse was in one as well, but blink and you miss him.
Rick Mail was going to be one of the ghosts and then got cut.
Right.
And also Dawn French is the painting. The
singing lady.
Yes. She does crop up a bit, but not often.
Mm. But there are a few who they sort of refer to. And I think Emma Thompson, for example, is technically meant to be there throughout, but it's only enough.
But she is in the end.
Yeah, I think she's in the end, and she's in one of them sort of mainly, but there's one... I can't think which film it is, she's in it for almost actually about a shot.
Yeah.
They got Emma Thompson in for that one shot, and then got it.
Well, it seems for the last couple of films, there's a lot of... I know I've heard interviews with people like... you know, not the Jeremy Irons. Who looks like Jeremy Irons, but isn't him? Lucius Malfoy.
Oh, no.
Not Jeremy Irons,
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Jeremy someone? It's...
On Mark Kermode's show, they say... Hello to Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs.
There we go.
Yes.
Jason Isaacs, for example, who just said,
I'm not going to edit that, by the way. You said that as if, he can edit that. No, I'm not. I'm going to enjoy the banter.
That's absolutely fine.
Plus, we've got to make time up.
Of course, that's the point. We'll just slow it down, shall we?
Yeah.
Jason Isaacs, for example, did a couple of days on it, whatever, or, you know, these actors pop up again.
Mm.
Just, they get the phone call, they don't even know, will I get the phone call for the last one? Am I in the last one?
Mm.
And you know, they say, yeah, gladly I'll go back for a day or two. Jim Broadbent, for example, had one film where it was mostly his film, which I think was All of the Phoenix, I think it was.
Yes.
And in the others, he's just sort of popped up and just happily just done a scene because... Mm. He goes, well, of course, I'm around. Yeah, I want to do
I've
it.
I've got a spare day.
You know, so it's great to be in the film.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's nice. Yeah,
yeah. But actually, on that, with the... I did read that a few of the young cast were a little bit overwhelmed with just some of the great actors who were there. Mm. Apparently, one of the earlier films, you've got... there was a moment where Daniel Radcliffe was thinking, no, I've got a choice. So we finished filming. We're all on site. Well, we're staying wherever we're staying. Now, I can either go over there and hear tales of the theatre from Maggie Smith, Michael Gambon and Kenneth Branagh, or over there, I've got tales of theatre from Gary Oldman and, you know, I go, which one? I don't know. I want both.
Don't
can
make
you all
me
come,
choose.
Come together?
All
please.
Come and talk to me.
It's, because, you know, you're spoiled for choice, really.
Well, yes, when there's a proper wealth.
Apparently, the anecdotes were just getting out of control.
Yes,
really,
I can imagine. Actually, we haven't mentioned Alan Rickman, I don't think, at all.
Yeah, exactly. Ricko.
Rickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big Rick.
Rickmansworth. Yeah, who, fantastic.
Yeah, who has one of the best arcs in the film as well. Yeah, in terms of, because you're never, well, unless you read the books, you're never 100% sure what's the up to.
I didn't know which way it's going to go.
Mm. And could, right up until the last minute, could have gone either way. Yeah. And again, in some films he's very underused, in other films he's very heavily involved. Mm. But as always, he kind of made it his own. And it's, I think, more his personality seemed to come in more into Snape than I think any of the other characters.
Yeah. I don't know who else could have played Snape, really.
Well, I think anyone else playing it would have been... Because Jeremy Irons actually wasn't in any of the films, was he?
No.
Yeah, and he could have...
I bet he's gutted.
Yeah, because I think he probably could have played Snape, but I think he would have been maybe a little bit too ominous.
Yes, he has got, very, very dark.
Yeah.
But then Alan Rickman's pretty
ominous. He's pretty ominous. But he's slightly...
Yeah,
I mean,
he's done slightly warmer, rounded, you know... films, projects before that I think
the way he played him, there was still, there could be an element of doubt either way. I think if Jeremy Irons played him, you'd be more inclined to think, oh, he's just going to be evil.
I think Jeremy Irons should have been in it as Snape's brother in one of the sequels.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like Die Hard, really. Yeah, just follow on from that.
Comes back and hunts down Voldemort because he dropped his brother out of a window.
Exactly.
And he makes him run around Hogwarts doing challenges. I think I've seen this before.
That could work.
Yeah.
Die Hard with a Philosopher's Stone.
Or the Sorcerer's Stone, if you're American.
Of course.
Yes. And as people keep emailing me to try and insist. So you've got the title wrong. No, I haven't.
No.
J.K. Rowling says that that's one of her big regrets about it, is that she should have put a foot down and insisted that, no, it's the Philosopher's Stone. Because that's what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. That is even beyond the Harry Potter thing. It is a long-standing mythical object. Mm. Whereas the Sorcerer's Stone is nothing.
So in the book, was it also, each time it was a Philosopher's Stone, it was
I think they just did a... Yeah.
Sorry.
I think they just did a find and replace throughout the entire book, as far as I know. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bit where they talk about, well, there's Immanuel Kant, the great sorcerer. Well, hang on.
I think you've read a different version of the book to me.
But clearly, he's not in there. Good.
So
After wondering if we'd end up going through them all in order,
we haven't really go into each one in great detail.
But also, I think it's one of the good things about the franchise is that it is remarkably consistent. Mm. I mean, while there are sort of ups and downs, there aren't more than almost any other franchise I can think of.
All right, then I'll go on a limb here and say the one I'm not so much a fan of, the first two do the Chris Columbus thing, but that's fair enough. Once you've taken that into account, Goblet of Fire... It's a good film. It's got very good moments in it, but I think just the plot of it, because it's about this Triwizard tournament. Mm. As soon as that's set up, I sort of thought, oh, okay, we're going to play through the tournament, then, aren't we?
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, they do that, and it's a bit more. You can see kind of where it's going in that sense. There's still enough twists and turns, fine.
Yeah.
But then all of the events in the Triwizard tournament, which are all in some way perilous. Mm. So, for example, they go to the lake and they say, "Ah, we've put down the lake. You've got to go down there, and otherwise your friend's going to die." Mm. If this is a real game, school, sport, tournament, school type thing, you're not... I didn't believe... I mean, maybe in the book it's better explained, but in the film I didn't ever believe that bit, because I thought you wouldn't put them in that peril for a sport.
Yeah.
If you're Dumbledore, for example. Yes. And yet he's going, I had to, because it's part of the game.
But they do have to fight dragons, if they're just a slight misstep and you would be killed by the dragon.
Well, yes.
Although I think then more the people who volunteered to do it, knowing the risks, rather than just, we're going to kill your friends because it's...
Yeah, fun. Rather than we've kidnapped your friends and put them down a lake. Oh, what have they done wrong? You know.
No, see, that didn't actually work. Weirdly, not necessarily like least, but I have more problems with, is the same with the books, which is number 6, Deathly Hallows. Because it all feels like... Because I think seven is the... Oh, sorry, yes, the...
Half-Blood Prince. Right.
Yes. Because Order of the Phoenix is very much setting up the beginning of the end, as it were, sort of with Voldemort starts to come back and everyone's fighting. And that's got a big finish. And then you're clearly building towards the Deathly Hallows as the big finale. Mm. And 6, in book and film terms, is just a little bit of a space filler.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you find out, oh, right, so they're the Horcruxes you've got to find. Or, we found one. And that's as far as I can remember, that's pretty much all that happens. It's, it's a lot of padding out before we get to the denouement, as it were.
Of course.
And yeah, it's still watchable and entertaining, and the book, you still read it and enjoyed it, but you're left just thinking, oh, it's got the final Dumbledorean moment at the end, of course. But yeah, as a whole thing, it was a little bit lacking.
Yeah,
but again, I mean, it's a relatively minor gripe in a overall. It's hardly a massive weak spot,
isn't it? You've got to really look to find them, haven't you? Really,
stage.
The only thing that sort of disappointed me is right at the very, very end. The very, 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 very end. It's like, what? How obviously it's
the epilogue.
To kind of make sure that there's really not going to be any more films, we go, okay, well, we'll see them. We'll see them in 10 years' time, and then, no, we can't fill in the gaps. That's it.
Please, but they could fill in the gaps.
Well, I think that their aim is that we're going to give it resolution now, and so you won't be hankering for any more, fair enough. And it's the same actors!
They look the kind of the same as well.
Yeah, they look exactly the same. Yeah, there's no way at all.
It's only meant to be. Well, no, and it's not. It's not great. Again, it didn't bother me.
Bad.
It looks like they're playing dressing up in Mummy and Daddy's clothes.
A little bit, yes.
Particularly Ginny Weasley is wearing sort of bangles and sort of. It just looks a bit like.
Yeah.
Just raided Judy Walters.
Give him a pot. Yeah. Give him a pot belly. Give him a bit of stubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's only meant to be. Actually, no. It's meant to be like 19. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's too far ahead. It doesn't.
And they've all turned up to be really boring, and it's okay. They're meant to be like, well, but no, also, I won't actually say anything.
But it's also true to the books, though, in terms of
having them. Oh, and Harry turns up. And having exactly the same.
Well, yeah, no, but having an epilogue is why it was a fan demanded thing, and so they did it. But I don't think the studio or she are planning to write more Harry Potter books.
No,
maybe more in the universe as a whole, possibly. But I don't think it would stop them telling more. Because there's still that whole intervening period.
Well, indeed. There's Pottermore.
Exactly.
The website, which is going to happen.
And there's that's still a huge amount of time where you can have adventures. And you know now who lives, who's got to survive for that. But you kind of assume that anyway. Mm. So there are still stories to be told, but I don't think they're going to do it.
I think there's a wonderful world out there that could be dipped back into. But you've got to really celebrate the fact that this has happened and maybe have other opportunities, maybe even the next generation. Who knows? But that, in the film-wise, that's taking the whole refusing to recast characters just a bit too far, and that was unbelievably frustrating.
Or they should have used more CGI to do
a little bit more CGI might have gone amiss there.
I mean, you could have stuck with the same actors to maintain consistent face shape and proportions and stuff, but just aged them better. Because the only reason to change the actor, I mean, because they're going to still look roughly like them, but you can age people better than they.
Well, if you can do what you did with Chris Evans in Captain America, and go from Little Chris to Big Chris.
Oh, I see. Yes, I thought you know what, freeze him in time for 90 years. No,
then you can do that. No. Yes. But yeah, you can do something with it.
Yes,
that's not that, surely.
There are better ways. It does seem like it was slightly on a budget, and they just sort of stuck a bit of makeup on and went with it. Also in the X-Men films, de-aging Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. They look a little bit CGI slightly, a little bit too smooth. But I would have thought it's probably easier to go the other way.
Well, what they should have done then is just, from the very word go, just cast older actors from the very first film onwards and de-age them for the rest of the films.
And the computer effects bill would have been immense. You could do it before it's fine.
Just put shoes on their knees. Get them walk around the floor. Be fine.
Yeah, I can't see any problem.
It'd be great.
Yeah, isn't that what Gary Oldman was in a film? I can't think what it was, but it's famous for being a really weirdly awful film with good people in it, where he plays a person of diminutive stature and Oh, it's a very. I can't. I'll need to look it up now.
Wow.
We could look it up now if you. You fill, I'll look. Or just stop and edit.
I'll fill with. I'll just say Dobby. I mentioned Dobby. Good old Dobby. You've got to love Dobby. And again, voiced by Toby Jones. It's not a movie banter unless I've mentioned that he was my drama teacher. He was very good, particularly in the last film or two whenever he appeared.
Yeah,
Lovely Dobby. Helena Bonham Carter. You know, there's a lot of people. You cannot.
So many.
We're gonna run out of we're gonna suddenly in a day's time go, I should have mentioned that person.
It just goes to show that there is a great plethora of.
Yeah.
British talent out there, and it's great to see it showcased in this one.
Robert Hardy.
Sort of thing.
No. Hardy? Is the Minister of Magic?
Of course.
Bill Nye. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, Tiptoes is the Gary Oldman film, slightly off topic, with the most appallingly photoshopped DVD cover you'll ever see in your life. Gary Oldman plays the dwarf brother of Matthew McConaughey.
What?
With Kate Beckinsale and Daryl Hannah, I think. Hang on.
What's the full summary?
Why not just get a diminutive actor?
Well, you'd think, wouldn't you? Two brothers, a dwarf and one normal-sized, when Steve's girlfriend Carol becomes pregnant, the pair are fearful the baby will inherit the dwarfism gene. Matters are complicated still further when she finds herself falling in love with his brother. Yeah, it's apparently brilliantly awful, but it's Gary Oldman playing a dwarf through some slightly dodgy special effects made in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're not judging you, Gary.
I bet there's some awkward moments on set in Harry Potter between Gary Oldman and... who was in it? Warwick Davis.
Oh, Warwick Davis.
Yeah, with Warwick. Yeah, that was one of my parts. Exactly, because Warwick Davis runs a dwarf casting agency, doesn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
As spoofed in the forthcoming TV comedy series, Life's Too Short.
Starring
Warwick Davis, written by Ricky Gervais.
I have seen a trailer for that. Yeah.
What's the space?
Cool.
Are you sure it's a spoof comedy series? It's not actually Warwick Davis relating
he's
his
playing himself,
stories?
He's...
So, gender's pointed.
I think you better wrap up.
Oh, yes, right.
So it's time to wrap up.
Yes.
It's time to wrap up.
Time the bell of destiny. Heady, yes.
Etc. Dead Island Flicks, best Harry Potter film is all of them.
All of them.
Well, I'm going to go with the fifth one.
No, I'm going to go for all of them.
I'll go for the third one.
No.
Azkaban.
All of them.
Fence Sitter.
I bought the box set. I'm taking it with me.
Okay, fair enough. So that's it. If you have any thoughts on Harry Potter, then please keep them to yourselves, because we have finished our special.
No, you can if you want. No, podcast at moviebanter.co.uk, or tweet us at moviebanter, or facebook.com/moviebanter.
Yes, or thoughts on any other filmic issues.
Well, very true. Anything you've seen, we will air them in due course.
If you've seen Tiptoes, let us know.
Oh, yeah, very true. Or if making, or yeah, then go and rent it, and then let us know.
Or if
you're
a diminutive actor who was turned down for the part in Tiptoes, because Gary Oldman became available.
Right, swept in and stole your job.
Let us know as well.
Yes. But until then, until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye.